morning. Come on, it's a good day. It is really a great day. Just so you know, I get two awesome experiences this day. I get to enjoy my time with you in what I consider the happiest, or let's see, the greatest place on earth to be. And then tonight, I get to enjoy the happiest place on earth. I'm going to go enjoy Mickey Mouse tonight. So you get the morning, and it's tonight, and we're going to have a great time. Life is fun. Life's supposed to be a joy. Life's supposed to be fun. I hope you're enjoying life and the aspects of life. And I have a passage here that is important to me. It says this: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's that Jesus we were just singing about. That God wants us to have an abundant life. That God wants to have a full life. I do not want to leave with regrets. Anybody? You know, I've jumped out of an airplane. I want to bungee jump, okay? Not at some fair or something like that. I don't trust those guys. I want to go someplace where they always do it. I've done some crazy thing. I tried to run the Dunnigan's Mile at Fort Benning, Georgia. I didn't do too well. I'm sitting at the bottom of the hill, the last hill, straight up this hill. I'm sitting there just huffing and puffing. I got to catch my breath. And you know, you get that humidity down there. You can't. You know, and it's just, you know, that south, man, it's just, you know, I've done some crazy. Life is supposed to be full. Life is supposed to be exciting. And that's what God wants us to have. And I'm excited about today. Like I said, I get this today, this morning. I love this place. I love being with you guys. I love what you mean to me and the church and to God. And I love this journey. But I also love Disneyland, okay? You know, and so I get this double blessing today. But you know what? Life's not always that way, is it? There's a lot of hurts in life. Anybody ever been hurt by life? Anybody ever get some pain in life? You know, and those hurts and those pains and those things create regrets. Anybody? Guilt. Bitterness. Anger. Anybody ever wrestle with things like that in life? You know, life's supposed to be this, and yet we get to points in our life and we look back over our life and it's just kind of. This morning, I kind of want to set the stage for a series of messages we're starting next week. See, we often as Christians, and I get the phone calls, and I'm sure some of you do, and I get text messages. Somebody gets sick, or somebody has notified that somebody's got cancer, or somebody broke their leg, or something happened to somebody, and they want me to pray for them. Anybody get texts like that? You know, somebody wants you to pray for them. We pray for those physical needs, don't we? Somebody needs groceries. Somebody needs food. Somebody needs a job. Somebody needs a place to stay. We'll pray for those physical needs. And we intercede with God for those physical needs. And then we also pray for those, we got family who aren't believers. You know, brothers or sisters, moms or dads, relatives. We got neighbors or a close friend. And they're not believers, and we pray for them, and we intercede that God will speak to their hearts, that God will touch them, that they may become believers. But one thing we've really failed as a church, and I'm not about just our church, but I think church, is those mental issues. Those issues of regrets, and those issues of bitterness, that we don't pray for that mental aspect of our life. We kind of set that one aside. If somebody's got mental problems, they're over here, and the physical and the spiritual, and we'll pray for those. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't know this, I'm going to inform you. You got mental issues. Because we all, you know, we all have something in common. Every one of us has a past. Anybody here don't have a past? We all have a past. We all have a story in our life. And in that story, maybe there's some abuse. Anybody? Physical abuse. Sexual abuse. There's a boss that's been mean. Or your parents. We're going to talk about parents in this series here. You know, they didn't do certain things. Or they did other things. And you carry this past. In this past, climbs up and it causes anger and depression, causes regrets. It just stirs in us. and we balance. And so we really pray for the physical, and we pray for the spiritual, but we just kind of ignore the until tragedies come along. My brother at 39 commits suicide. Shakes you up, doesn't it? How do we wrestle? How do we deal with this? See, I want to make sure you get a picture here that God cares not just about our spiritual. You know, I often thought if God wanted us to be born and go to heaven, when we accepted Christ, it'd be that's it. You know, you accept Christ and shoo, you're gone. Walk the aisle in the church, shake the preacher's hand, and where'd they go? You know, if that's all God wanted was us to go to heaven, that it would be that simple. But God wants a relationship with us. God wants something here on earth with us. And so when we cross that invisible line and we get in relationship with God and we're walking with God, and yet we have this past. I have a past. How does that affect me? I like this here, and you're going to recognize this, called the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I circled the first three of those. Love, joy, peace. Because I see those as emotions. Anybody else see those as emotions? You know, that need for love, that need for belonging, that need apart, you know, that need for joy, to be happy, you know, to find some enjoyment in life, you know, and that peace. And I'm not just talking about peace, that there's no war, there's peace. I'm talking about, how about an inner peace, a peace of mind? See, I think we read through these and we don't stop and think about that emotional stuff that goes on in our life. That there's a past, that today, that affects who we are today. Now, I want to be clear here, because I have some principles, and I'm going to be talking. This is kind of an introductory sermon to the 9 weeks that are coming, to kind of give you a picture here, all right? Because here's my thing. Your past can be an explanation or an excuse. You get my picture? Your past can explain what you're and why you need to change, or how you need to manage it and deal with it. Or you can use it as an excuse and make yourself a victim. And I give you a little hint here. If you think you're a victim, I got news for you. You're a victim. And I refuse to be a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be a victim of my past. I'm not going to be a victim of my parents. I'm not going to be a victim of anything. And so we have this choice. And how we do and how we rest. So what I did and what I... So I'm really excited. You need to know I'm really excited about the series of messages. And I wanted to set it up. And here's the funny thing. I got the messages, and I had Jonah. We just finished up Jonah. And I had these 9 sermons on healing for damaged emotions. And I had one plugged right in the middle I couldn't figure out what to do with. Don't you guys like that? Yeah. And so I was, what do I do? And what do I do? And then this idea came to me. It's another one of the minor prophets. Remember minors, just because it's a short book. This only has like 12. And it's really, if you want to get real precise, I'm only going to talk about the first three. And there's an individual in it that I think wrestled with this battle. And I think we can learn something as we see her wrestle with it. See, it's a book of Hosea. Anybody familiar with the book of Hosea? Hosea is one of those prophets in the Old Testament. It's called minor because it's short. And God called Hosea, just like he called Jonah, and God calls Hosea. And here's what it says here. You get your little outline out. You can follow along. I'm going to have several verses. And there's one. For some reason, I didn't get it in here. You're going to have to write it down. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, began to speak through Hosea. Through is an important word there. When he began to speak through Hosea, Hosea became the instrument. Okay? Hosea became the tool. The Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulteress, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. He tells Hosea, I'm going to use your life. Now, you know, God, I don't mind talking for you, but you want to use my life? I don't know about that. And then my marriage? He tells Hosea to go marry a promiscuous woman. I'm going to put it in today's term. Let's call it a prostitute, okay? He tells her, what in terms of today, now, go South 9th Street and pick you out a wife. I'm not in for that one, God. You know, you think Jonah ran? Yeah, God. Yeah. But see, what he's doing here, he's painting a picture. Hosea, your life's going to represent my love for these people. I love my people. They are my people. And I will be their God. I love them, though they have ran off and worshipped other gods. Being Baal. They got temples to Baal and altars to Baal and all these other gods. And they're doing their own thing. Some of them are just ignoring God. You know, it's like, well, we're not worshiping another god. I'm just doing my own thing. And so God says, I love them, so I'm going to use you as an example. I'm going to use your life as an example. I want you to go pick this woman who is an adulteress, this woman who is promiscuous. I want you to pick her just like I picked Israel running from me. You know, we have a New Testament verse for this one. It's, for God so loved the world. Anybody know that one? John 3:16? Then you get into the book of Romans, and it says, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. So that's what this is painting a picture of. Hosea's life is painting a picture of God reaching out to these people. And then verse 3, which for some reason I can't explain, didn't get put in here. Verse 3 says he took Gomer for his wife and she bore him a son. Put that down, Gomer somewhere in there. You see it at the top of the page so you know how to spell it. Yeah. So he takes Gomer. He goes down and picks a promiscuous woman named Gomer to be his wife. All right. And they have several children. You read the first chapter. Matter of fact, my home group on Wednesday is doing Hosea. We're having a great time. I don't know. I name my kids weird names, but these are really weird names. You know, not my own. You know. And so she has these three children. And she's married to Hosea. And that sounds like a pretty good story. God reaching out, touching the people. That what happens is, Gomer abandons her family and goes back to her promiscuous ways. Goes back to the ways she used to live, to the choices she used to make. And God comes to Hosea again, and I have that next verse there. It says, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. Didn't we say that last week? Didn't we do the last whole thing? God is a God of second chances. Yeah, we see that here. Though she is loved by another man and is adulterous, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raising cakes. He's saying, go back and love her. Go back and take her to be your wife again. It's like, I wash my hands of it, God. She ran. It's her problem, not mine. But no, God says, go back. God, that, see the picture God's painting? I don't know about you, but are we sometimes rebellious with God? You know, God, I still want to do things my own way. You know, God, it's Sunday and the 49ers are on, right? Come on. I heard they were winning. You know. And don't we kind of, you know, God, it's, you know, follow you, but I want, you know, do we ever, you know, and so he's painting this picture. To me, this Hosea is just like us today. We haven't changed. We're still the same. But I want to take a different approach to Hosea. I want to talk about Gomer. I want you to think about Gomer for a minute. I was wrestling with how and where to go, and then this message came. I had much about her. I always thought about Hosea. Maybe because I'm a guy. You know, go pick a prostitute, then go back and get her. When you read the whole chapter, it's real interesting. Not only go back and get her, go back and buy her. Yeah. Go back and buy my wife. She, you know, you sow what you weep, honey. Buy. You know? No, you know, I always looked at this through Hosea. But what about Gomer? Think about this for a minute. Why? You see big old why up there? Why? Why would Gomer, who has been, came out of a very brutal lifestyle,
I think prostitution is a brutal lifestyle, okay? Maybe I'm crazy. I think that sex traffic and all that, a very brutal, brutal lifestyle. Very abusive lifestyle. Why would somebody who marries Hosea, now she's got love, she's got a home, she's got security, she's got safety. She life has changed. It's totally different. It's totally new. Why would somebody with all of this, all the good things, got three children and a loving husband and a home and everything's here and everything, the American dream. Why would they leave that to return to prostitution? What would compel her to abandon her children? Can you imagine mothers abandoning your children? You know, just leaving your children? Can you imagine? What would push her? What would call her? What would drive her to do that? Here's what I want to propose to you. I want to think that the past, her past, wasn't the past anymore. She couldn't get away. She couldn't escape those thoughts, that story, those experiences. She just couldn't get it. So I wrote it this way. If you look at your outline, I put big bold letters, your past impacts your today. Why would she leave all this, what I would say is a pretty nice life, for this brutal, nasty life? What would compel her? Why would she do that? See, here's what I want to say. I think the past robbed her of the full life. I think the past robbed her of that love, fruit of the Spirit, that joy, that peace. See, and here's what I want us to think about. I want us to think today and over the next 9 weeks. I want you to think about this, because I believe there's a lot of us who are here today who wrestle with the past, who wrestle with issues, who wrestle with hurts, who wrestle with abuse, who wrestle with those things that cause depression, that cause that regrets and that bitterness, that anger. You ever get angry and not even know why? Anybody ever get angry and not even know why? And I look at Gomer and I kind of see this feeling that her past had imprisoned her and had robbed her. And I think it's time to say, the past is the past. I think it's time to move on. I'm excited. You need to know I'm excited about this series, because here's what I want you to know. I'm not going to say there's a magical wand. Come and accept Christ and all your problems are going to go away. I don't think it always works that way. I think that's a step in the direction, okay? Make sure you hear me. I do not know how people did with their past without Jesus. I don't. How can you forget what you can't be forgiven of, that you still carry? You know, I'm going to call it baggage. Anybody got baggage from the past? You got that baggage? Parents, teachers, school, coaches, boss, brother, sister, best friend. You ever been stabbed by your best friend in the back? You know? Anybody ever wrestle with these issues? And I see Gomer. Why would she leave all that? I didn't really, just so you know the truth, I really didn't think much about Gomer until I wrote this message. Now, you know what? I have more compassion for her. To step back and to think what she left behind, that she just couldn't leave behind, that she just couldn't avoid. Look at what the scripture says. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Dwell on the past. Whoa, isn't that a good statement?
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Anybody ever feel you're wandering around the wilderness in your life? You ever feel it's just kind of a wasteland? You're just in the desert. You're just wondering, what am I doing here, God? Why is all this? Anybody ever wrestle with stuff like that? We see this in our lives. And I like, he says, forget. Now, I'm the preacher this morning. Forget your past. Go out here. Be happy. You guys are laughing because it just doesn't erase, does it? It just doesn't disappear. You know, it's just no magical wand. Whew, you're gone. See, I believe, just so you know, I'm going to be honest with you right now. You need to understand this. I believe in Christian counselors, okay? I believe sometimes you need to go talk to somebody to work through some. You hear? You need to know that. It's okay. You notice I said Christian counselor. All right, somebody who understands that Jesus makes the difference. Because when he takes it away, let me tell you, I love those the scripture. As far as the east is from the west, whoo, that's pretty far. He says it casteth the sea of forgetfulness. Boy, I like that one. And so somebody needs to, but I also want you to understand something. I believe that when we're born, we have physical things in our body. And because, I call it metabolical. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a body physician or anything. But we have these chemicals in our body. Anybody know those chemicals in our body? And sometimes they need to be balanced. I'm one who believes in taking medicine. If you got to battle depression, I think medicine's sometimes good. But sometimes our body just doesn't work right. Anybody have a body that doesn't work right? I do. It doesn't do half the stuff I want it to do anymore. But I want you to know, so here, I believe there are environmental things, parents and school and although, where we were raised and all that. I believe there's environmental things that influence us. And I also believe there's metabolic or physical things that maybe you need, I say you take medicine to manage it. You learn to manage it. How's that? Because how do we deal with this? How do we deal? Forget it. Just forget it. But he says, here's what you do. Forget that. Forget that. See, I'm doing a new thing. I want you to think about being new. See, I'm still the person that I was when I was born. Anybody different than when you were born? I'm still the same person. That Jesus Christ made me a new creature. You know what? I'm a different person. I'm not the same person. I've changed. Look at what it says. I love this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Don't you like that? He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm a new creature. Things have changed. See, what we need to do, and what I'm going to be proposing, is we need to take our eyes off of our past and put our eyes on the new. I'm a new person. The past is gone. Like I've said in the past, you go and talk to some of my aunts and my uncles that while I was growing up, and you go ask them, hey, do you believe Gary's a preacher now? You know what they're going to tell you? We knew him when. I can't believe. Anybody have a friend that turned their life over to Jesus and they're totally a different person? Anybody ever have a friend they turned? Isn't new creature something? But isn't it easy to see it in somebody else but not ourselves? Can you, God really changed them, and then you look at yourself and you look in the mirror and you go, why me? We need to see ourselves as new creatures. See, I don't think she could. See, here's what I think happened to Gomer. I believe someday she's walking down the road, and the people are over here talking. Anybody? They're over there. And she sees them, and it just crosses her mind.
They're talking about me. They might not even be talking about her, but guess what they think? Anybody ever do that? You know, you think people are talking about you all the time? You're not that important. You know? But, you know, they're talking about me. You know? Or Satan. Gomer. You know, the only reason Hosea married you, he really doesn't love you. God told him to. He really doesn't love you, Gomer. Gomer, you know what? You know, you're really dragging Hosea down. You know, your past and your story. Hosea, you know, he can't get the big church to pastor because of your past, Hosea. Gomer, you know, remember? You know, you're walking down the street and you know, you got one kid by the hand and one kid on your hip, and all of a sudden, here comes one of the guys. Where does her mind go? Anybody get things like that in your head, or is it just me? Things, you know, the past just somehow just keeps bubbling up to the top. I see this happening to Gomer, and that's the only explanation I can find. I don't know why. Why would somebody... I'm going to be a little gross right now. I maybe you have to excuse me, but it's in the Bible, okay? I can be gross when it's in the Bible. Is that okay? The Bible says it like this. When a dog returns to its vomit. Hey, doesn't that sound good? You ever watch a dog do that? Come on now. Don't sit there like you've never seen a dog do that. Isn't that kind of what she did? Return to that abuse. Return to that mistreatment. Return to that past. See, I want to challenge us. That, you know what, we can make the past dead. And it's no magical wand, and I'm not going to sit here and say, just forget it. That's why we're going to take 9 weeks, okay? I'm going to challenge you to be here every day during the 9 weeks. Pick up the book, follow the book, read the Bible too, okay? We're going to do that. But how do we deal with these? How do I deal with it? I'm going to give you three quick points this morning, just three quick things to kind of put on this, to kind of help us get through this, okay? The first one, if you're looking at your outline, is this. Finding my identity and my baggage result in an inability to be fully alive. If I'm just carrying all my garbage around, if I'm just always with my regrets and always with my bitterness and always with my anger and always, life's never going to be a joy, is it? I'll never really enjoy life. I'll never have peace. I'll never be full of joy and peace in life. It wants us to have that full life. God wants us to enjoy life. I say this all the time. I don't think God would create us and say, I'm going to create a beautiful garden, and I'm going to throw two people in there, and I'm going to see how mean I can be to them. I don't think that's the Garden of Eden. I think God put us in a beautiful garden to have a full and meaningful life. Anybody? And then we mess it up. But Hosea says God comes back and gets us. He pursues us. It's fine. I mean, Hosea went and brought him back, paid for her. Jesus paid our debt. He bought us back. We're free. And see, we need to see that. But if we get caught up with our past, if we get caught up, we cannot enjoy life. You will never find peace until you deal with that past. Am I right? Until the past is the past, until you let it go. You just can't be. So we carry that around. And then it starts stinking. You know, what happens if you leave the garbage and never don't haul the garbage out of the kitchen for 2 weeks? Not only does the kitchen stink, but the whole house begins to stink, right? Yeah. We think we can compartmentalize our lives, don't we? Well, I just have this one little anger issue over here, but everything else is okay. Does life work that way? Now, I'm sure none of you guys ever do this. You have a bad day at work. Anybody? Anybody? You go to work, you have a bad day at work, and you come home, and you take it out on your wife, say yes, right? You know, you had a bad day, and who gets the brunt of it? The wife gets the brunt of it, you know. It had nothing to do with it. We try to compartmentalize our life, but it doesn't work. And so you need to understand, if you carry this bag around, you're not going to get to enjoy life. Here's what I want you to see. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you have that hope and future? Or have you let the garbage, the baggage, destroy you? You let Satan. Now, let me ask you. Again, maybe it's just me. I can only speak for me. But you ever go to bed and you're laying down in bed, and you're starting to go to sleep. You know, and your mind just starts running. Anybody? And things just start flashing across your mind. You know, and sometimes it's the things you wish weren't there. You know, those regrets. You know, that guilt. You know, that bitterness. You know, you're laying there and you're trying to go to sleep and your mind is just... Is it... I mean, that's me. I don't know. You know. How can we be fully alive, you know? And how can we get through that? And so don't build your identity on your baggage. You are not what you used to be. I love the part in Philippians. I'm going to read some more verses in Philippians. Read the book of Philippians. There you go. I'll give you some homework. Read the book of Philippians. I love Paul. Paul says this, and I remember a group when I was in college would come, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. I'm not what I was. See, leave that baggage. You're a new creature. Do you see yourself as new? Let me tell you something. I got news for you. You're somebody special. Nobody's ever told you that. Let me tell you that. You're somebody special. You're unique. You're wonderfully made. You're a gift from God. Did you know that? Every one of us. There's no such thing as an accident with God. You know, we may not plan things, but let me tell you something. What this verse tells me, God plans everything. Anybody? See, do you see yourself as that new, you're somebody special, this abundant life? Now, I want to tell you, abundant life for me is not a matter of possessions. Abundant life means I get more. The bigger home, the newer car. You know, abundant life, I get more stuff. I get so much stuff, my house up. My house isn't big enough for all my stuff, so I fill my garage up. And my garage isn't big enough for all my abundancy from God, I get a storage unit. Is that what abundant life means? No! Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good. All right, did you get it? See, don't get caught up with your baggage. The baggage is the past. You are not what you were. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Look at what it says. Not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And I circled the word condemn. That word condemn. But in order that the world might be saved through him. There's no more condemnation. I don't need to have guilt. I don't need to have regret. I don't need to have all that baggage. There's no more condemnation. It's the past. Let me give you a little quick point here. Condemnation is for the past. Conviction is what you're doing today. All right? Now, some of us get convicted, right? You get behind the steering wheel of a car, you get convicted for your attitude. All right? Condemnation is, that happened last year, and God already forgave me. You're forgiven. The past is the past. How about this next one? I put it this way. Finding my identity and my baggage will lead to an instability in my walk with God. Don't you like those long sentences? Finding my identity and my baggage. We got to go on about three. Go on. One more. And one more. There we go. All right. Finding my identity and my baggage will lead to instability in my walk with God. You know, when I feel guilty, do I want to talk to God? I mean, you know, when I'm feeling convicted, I want to run to God. God, I don't want to deal with it right now. Anybody in that boat with me? God, I just want to ignore it. I don't want to go there. You know, I just want to challenge us. See, it makes it hard to worship God. I know none of you have anything like this. I can only talk from past experiences since our kids are grown and I came in early at the church and stuff. Nobody ever does this. You know, you get in the car to go to church, and of course there's a nice family discussion in the car. Anybody ever had those family discussions in the car? You know, you have that discussion that just kind of bounces around. You know? And then you walk into church. Okay, I'm here to worship God. I really want to worship God today after I kill my husband.
You know what I'm saying? You know, when you have these emotions, it messes up your God. Gomer had all this going for her, everything, security and a home and children and love, and she abandoned it all because her past, that instability of that baggage, walked away from it all. See, I want to challenge you. Get your focus off all that stuff. And get your focus on God. Look at what it says here. Isaiah 26:3.
You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you.
Anybody here need peace? Trust God. Don't trust your past. Don't trust that stuff. Trust God. See, we need to set in our lives. I'm walking with God. Am I going to mess up? Yes. Yes. But God, second chance. Second chance, God. That God. And that's the path. Do I have things in my past I wish I had not done? Anybody on that one yet? Places I wouldn't have went? No. What? That's the past. That's the past. See, perfect peace. Perfect peace when you trust God. Don't trust yourself. Trust God. Look again at God's word. Look at what it says.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Whoa.
You know, your past can't separate you from God. You get that? Your past cannot separate you from God. It's the past. Nothing. I am a child of God. When you cross that invisible line, if you're sitting here this morning, you cross that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And you cross that invisible line. You are a child of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say you might be. Didn't say you're going to wait and see. I had 3 children when they were born. It's like, okay, you know what? I got these 3 kids. I got 1, 2, 3. I'm going to wait and see how they do in kindergarten before I love them. I'm going to until they make sure they graduate high school. Is that how I did it? I loved them, just so you know, before they were born. When they were kicking my wife, that was fun. I didn't feel a thing. Yeah? I loved them. That's God's love. Nothing can separate us from the love. Do you get that? You are so loved by God that He went and bought you back. See, don't get bounced around with this instability of your garbage and your baggage. That regret and that guilt. There's no more guilt. There's no more regret. There's no more bitterness. There's no more anger. It's not there. You are free. And you can walk with God. But if you let that baggage get in the way, you'll fall away from God. I just don't feel like going. I don't feel like praying. I don't want to, you know, it's a bad day. I don't want to go to small group tonight. Am I right? See, that stuff just kind of pulls you away. That baggage will pull you away from God. And it just keeps sucking you away. And you'll walk away just like Gomer. How about this last one here, real quick? Finding my identity in Christ will impact my life immediately and eternally. When I cross that line, I am saved. Period. It's over. It's done. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? I'm going to heaven. There's not a doubt in my mind. not a question in my mind. I am going to heaven because I'm a good preacher. No, had nothing to do with it, because of Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm going to heaven immediately. Absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. Immediately. It's eternal. It's the way it is. Look at what it says. Since you were raised from the dead with Christ, aim at that what is in heaven, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Think only about the things in heaven. Do you get that? Think only about the things in heaven, not the things on earth. Your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Is your life, and when He comes again, you will share His glory. Whoa. You see that? You are somebody in the hand of God. You are not a nobody. You are somebody. Somebody special, handpicked, chosen by God. You are in His hands. Not that baggage, not that garbage. Think about heaven and the joy and the peace and the patience. You, the child of God. Do you see that? See, and we let our baggage pull us down. We let the past beat us up. You know, Satan just comes up and whispers in your ear, hey, did you see that? Did you hear that? They're talking about you over there. And Satan says these things, and it makes these things pop into our head, and you lay there at night, and you just can't go to sleep. Now that insomnia, and your mind racing with all sorts of garbage. It says count sheep. Anybody ever count sheep? Well, let me tell you, let me give you something better. Don't count the sheep, think of the shepherd. What do you think? Don't count the sheep. Think about the things in heaven. Think of the shepherd. Think about the shepherd who loves you. Who's going to carry you. Who's going to care for you. Who's going to bless you. See, we all have a past. I'm going to share more of my story. I look at my life, and just so you know, I share some of the bad things in my life, but I'm going to tell you what. I have had a good life. I'm going to tell you about, you know. I come from a low middle class family. I'm going to tell you about my journey and all that went through my life. The beatings. You know, I got a past. I got things I could have anger on and bitterness, resentment. But you know what? When I was 17, God changed everything, man. It was totally a new rewrite in my life. 17 at my aunt and uncle's house. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. It changed my whole life. Absolutely everything. I look at my life now and I am so blessed. Wife, kids, home, car. Anybody? I got a wonderful job. Look at this. I get you guys. Man, life is good. But you know what? I still have a past. But here's the good news. The past is the past. What I have is the joy of today. And guess what? I'm here with you. And tonight, I'm at Disneyland. Come on now. Can life get any better? I have a past, but I have a full life. And God wants you to know. Look at what it says. Brothers, I do not consider that I made it my own. Like this. This is me. This is for me. This might not be for you, but this is for me. But one thing I do, forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man. Forget it. I am a new creature in Christ. And man, I'm going. And it is fun. Now, do I have troubles? Yes. Do I call? Ask Laura. All right? It's life. But you know what? The past is the past. And I can't change that.
that with Christ Jesus, man, the future looks bright. You know what? I'm going to turn 62 this year. And here's what I believe. The best years of my life are still ahead. All right? And yet, the best years are still ahead. How about you? How about you? Has your baggage given instability in your relationship with God? Has your baggage ruined a full life? Has your baggage tore up your today? I want to tell you, give it. Not going to go away in some magical wand. I'm going to be honest. You may need some counseling. You may need some medicine. I don't know. But I know where it begins. It begins with Jesus Christ. It begins with the Son of God. And here's the good news. He's pursuing you. Jesus isn't sitting there, come, come, come. Jesus is pursuing. Hosea had to go buy his wife back. And I want to tell you, Jesus is pursuing you. He wants you back. He wants to walk with you. You're his child. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy. A God who forgives. Lord, that there is a sea of forgetfulness that you have cast our past into. That our sins as far as the east is from the west have gone from our lives. That we are free. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe there's some baggage in you that you just can't shake. Cause regrets, cause guilt, maybe giving you depression. Maybe, you know, anger, I don't know. Maybe there's just something, and you just can't seem to shake it. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I see those. I see those. Anyone else? I see those. Anyone else? Lord, you see the hands of these who struggle with the past. It just seems to pull us down, drag us down. It drains every ounce of our energy. And so, Lord, I lift them up to you. Lord, I ask you to put a clear vision in their heart, to let them see how you see them, to see themselves as you see them, to recognize your hand in their life. I thank you that you have forgiven our sins. You've forgiven those things, those people, maybe it's situation. Maybe it's things we've done or things we've said, Lord, that you have forgiven those and cast us into the sea of forgetfulness. But now let us see in the mirror clearly a new image, an image that you see in us of the work of God, the hand of God. Let them see what you see in their hearts, in their lives. Set them free to be who you call them to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.